Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Rangamai Jamuna Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakti Mani Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandam. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru. Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Bhadijana Sankhya Krishna Chaitanya Shri Radha Krishna Dev Sahagana Shri Shatam Vitamas Chan Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, what Prahlad learned in the womb, Text 32. Hari Saveshu Bhuteshu.
Hari Saveshu Bhuteshu.
Bhagavan Asta Ishwara.
Bhagavan Asta Ishwara.
Iti Bhutani Manasa.
Iti Bhutani Manasa.
Namaste Sadhu Manayat.
Paramatma, who is situated in the core of every living entity's heart. Thus one should offer respect to every living entity according to that living entity's position or manifestation. And if we look directly at the Sanskrit, we see Harihi Sarveshu Bhuteshu. And the Hari is inside of every living entity. Sarva all Bhuteshu. Bhagavan Asti Ishwara, who is the supreme controller. Iti thus, bhutani, therefore in all living entities, manasa, with one's mind. Kamai, each living entity who is in different bodies according to their desire, each of them tied to each of them, sadhu maniyat, one should offer respect. So that one should, with one's mind, offer respect to all living entities who are differently situated according to their desires, because the Supreme Person, the Supreme Controller, is within each one of them. So that's another way of translating. Purport. Hadihi sarveshu bhuteshu. This state, now Srila Prabhupada is going to concentrate exclusively in this purport of with dispelling the notion that somebody might think, rather than that the Lord is in everyone, that everyone is the Lord. Sarveshu bhuteshu means within. In English we put the preposition in the house. We don't say house in. But in Sanskrit, the preposition becomes a postposition. It becomes an ending on the word. So this is within. The Supreme Lord is within. But some people may say, well, the Supreme Lord is within, therefore everyone is the Supreme Lord. Something like, I'm sitting in this room, therefore I am the room, or therefore the room is me. So to counter this, Srila Prabhupada is speaking this purport. Hadihi sarveshu bhuteshu. This statement is sometimes misunderstood by unscrupulous persons who wrongly conclude conclude that because Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated in every living entity is therefore Hari. Such foolish persons do not distinguish between the Atma and the Paramatma, who are situated in every body. The Atma is the living entity, and the Paramatma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual living entity, however, is different from the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Harihi Sarveshu Bhuteshu means that Hari is situated as Paramatma, not as Atma, although Atma is a part of Paramatma. Offering respect to every living entity means offering respect to the Paramatma situated in every living entity. One should not misunderstand every living entity to be the Paramatma. Sometimes unscrupulous persons designate a living entity as Dharidra Narayana, Swami Narayana, this Narayana, or that Narayana. One should clearly understand that although Narayana is situated in the core of the heart of every living entity, the living entity never becomes Narayana. Hari sarveshu bhuteshu bhagavan asti ishvara iti bhutani manasa kamastaye sarvayat. One should always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his localized representation as the Paramatma, who is situated in the core of every living entity's heart. Thus one should offer respect to every living entity according to that living entity's position or manifestation. So Prabhupada's taking this word kamais and translate that according to that living entity's position or manifestation. Because it's because of our desires that we have a particular body or a particular position. So here it's saying sadhu. We should show respect for everyone, every living entity. Bhuteshu. The cockroaches, the trees. You have the environmentalists who love the trees, or they love the dolphins, but they don't love the cows. My grandchildren were studying in their science unit about wild horses. So we got this book about this man who came up with a kind method of training horses, and instead of beating them and tying them up, he just learned their language and gave them some signals, and then they were immediately tamed within half an hour. But the same man who was very kind to horses, who would never kill a horse, who would never hurt a horse, he was eating the cows and the chickens. So it's very difficult for somebody to be kind to all living entities. And even we as devotees may find it hard to be kind to all living entities, to actually respect all living entities. I mean, it's easy to respect somebody who respects you. Right? It's easy. How do you respect people who don't respect you? How do you respect people who hurt you? How do you respect the cockroaches? I mean, it's easy to feel some love for a fuzzy little dog or cat. But when you see a cockroach, you go, ew, get in there. And you feel repulsed. Just by the body, just according to that body that the living entity has gotten by their own desires, we feel attraction or repulsion by the physical body or by the mental body. Somebody has, by their own desires, gotten a mental or physical body in the mode of ignorance. Then we go, how can I respect that living entity? We're seeing according to the particular body or how they deal with us. But here we're told we should respect all. And of course, this is one of the main Trinadapis in Uchinadu. should show such respect to the point like a tree shows respect. A tree gives its shade and its fruits even to the axeman. Even the person who's going to cut it down, the tree is still giving shade and fruit. All facility. So we might ask, why should we do this? Why should we show respect to all living entities? One reason given here is Harihi Sarveshu Bhuteshu, because Krishna is in their heart, not that they are Krishna. And Krishna is our most beloved object. If the person that you love the most is living in a house, then you're going to take care of that house. If your beloved child or husband or wife or mother or father or even your pet dog, whatever living entity you have love for, their residence is a place you're going to treat with respect. If your loved one has been away and they're coming back and you're going to clean it, you're going to put some nice whatever, incense, you're going to give them water. You're going to treat everything in relation to them with respect. And not only is it the residence of the Lord, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, but Krishna is the intimate friend of every living entity. If I love my husband, then naturally I'm going to be nice to my husband's brother, even if my husband's brother is a creep. And just because he's my husband's brother. I have one relative whose brother married a very difficult lady. And this relative told me, she drives the family crazy, but she's family. Right? I'm sure all of us have someone in our family that, if they weren't family, we wouldn't have anything to do with them. But because they're family, we're kind to them. Everyone's family. Krishna loves everyone. And Krishna loves everybody equally. It's not that Krishna only loves me or the people I like. He loves everyone. He even loves my enemies. Krishna has as much love for the people who insult me and blaspheme me and hurt me and try to cheat me. Have you all had people in your life? I'm not the only one who's had people who tried to cheat me and blaspheme me and make my life miserable for no apparent reason. Not even sometimes for any gain on their part. Have you all had people like that in your life? And Krishna loves them. He has unlimited love. He loves the little cockroach. I may not want them in my kitchen, but Krishna loves them. So it's Krishna's residence, and it's Krishna's residence. The body is Krishna's residence because Krishna loves that living entity. Krishna is staying in that house, even though the house that the living entity inhabits in this world is a house made of material desires, tamas. And it's nasty. Even if your desires are the motive of goodness, it's still nasty. What to speak if your desires are the motive of ignorance? Our own body, I'm sorry to say, is a very nasty thing. Because our own desires are nasty. This body is pretty disgusting. But still, Krishna stays in the body with us because he loves us. Because he doesn't ever want to be separated from us. And he feels that way towards every living. And another reason we should show respect for all living entities is because that's the very nature of Vaikuntha. This is described in the third canto, that the beautifully singing birds stop their own singing to listen to the bees buzzing the glories of the Lord. Now, the sound of bees buzzing is not as musically attractive as the sound of birds. But the birds respect the bees, or it's described that the beautiful flowers are offering respect to Tulsi. Actually, it's described in that purport that only the Supreme Lord can fully appreciate the fragrance of Tulsi. From a materialistic point of view, the plumeria, the gardenia is so much more fragrant than Tulsi. But those flowers are offering respects to Tulsi. That's the mood of Vaikuntha. Prabhupada says everyone is appreciating everyone else's service. Materialistically, is I want everyone to appreciate me and my service, and I'm going to only appreciate others if it will help people to appreciate me. As a device. Really, I'm usually criticizing others. Oh, yeah, that person's working really hard, but they have this problem. This person does this, but they have this problem. Oh, this person. Yeah, they have someone. It probably talks about someone that you knew as a child becomes a high court judge. You say, I don't believe it. How could he ever be a high court judge? they're probably not paying him. So this is our nature is instead of respecting others. And where should we respect others? It says here, manasa, in the mind. It's not talking just about external respect, the sort of social niceties that we pay each other.
Oh, yes, I haven't really done anything. You've done so many wonderful things.
And these little social lies that we go through so that we can function in society. It's not talking about that. Not that we should give that up. But the idea is that we should have respect in the mind, in the heart. Genuine respect. Actual, genuine respect for all living entities. Otherwise, we're not going to Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is not just some place you go to. It's a frame of consciousness. If you're in the proper consciousness, this world becomes Vaikuntha. And the consciousness, Vaikuntha consciousness, is that you genuinely respect every single living entity. Because of your love for Krishna. Naturally, they're part of Krishna's family. That I really see the good in others. I say the commentary on the discussion between Daksha and Lord Shiva, they say that there's four grades of not finding fault with others. The highest grade is you just don't even see the faults. The lowest grade is you see the faults, but you think, well, they're potential good qualities. And the highest level, you don't see them. Of course, we're afraid of doing that. We're afraid if I don't see people's faults and I'll get cheated. As if by seeing people's faults we don't get cheated. Does that? Has anybody found that they don't get cheated by seeing people's faults? Have we remained safe? Of course, Prabhupada says in the previous purport, we have to have discrimination. We have to say this is a fit person with whom to associate with, this is not a fit person with whom to associate with. But that discrimination should be, as Rupa Goswami says in Upadeshamrita, that we should be free from the propensity to criticize others. That I may discriminate and see, okay, this is not a fit person for me to associate with according to the Shastra. I don't really see them as having some fault. Just like a little child. We just see that, okay, they haven't yet fully matured. Like you go to the tree and you see the tree has green mangoes. You have discrimination. You say this is not ready to offer yet, but you're not seeing it as a fault. You don't see, oh, this is green mangoes. It's just not ripe yet. Terrible mango. It's green. You see some living entities, they've not matured in their devotion. Others, they have matured in their devotion. That's not a fault. But simply some may be fit to offer in Krishna, some may be fit to associate with him. Why is this so hard? Why is it so hard to do this? I mean, we all accept, I'm assuming that everybody here accepts these principles as being true and that we probably accepted these principles as being true for a long time. We're saying them every day, right? Right? Hopefully we're not just parroting. I mean, no one's forcing us to come here to the Hare Krishna temple and say that, so I assume we believe it. But why is it so hard to really respect others? So hard. Well, part of it is because we also belong to the spiritual world. That's our home. And we're made to live in an atmosphere where there's mutual respect. That's where we come from. Like the fish is made to live in the water. We're not designed for this world of condemnation and criticism and exploitation and cheating. It's not our home. It's a foreign atmosphere. It's like trying to breathe in a room of poisonous gas. You know, you need to have a special air tank or something. And we're also hankering for respect. Wait a minute, but it says we're not supposed to be looking for respect. But we are. From whom are we supposed to be looking for respect? It's somebody whose respect we are supposed to be looking for. Krishna. And then he will call me Uncle Akura, and my whole life will be perfect. Prabhupada says there that one who is not looking to be recognized by the Supreme Personality of God has a condemned life. We want Krishna to say, like Jesus says, well done, oh, good and faithful servant. And if you have that, Prabhupada says, I was just reading one lecture, why should you care if anyone else respects you? God respects you. Right? And if you're going to the White House and Barack Obama respects you, why do you care if the, some secretary respects you? If you're up there with the president and somebody's scowling in the audience, who cares? You're already full. If you're full, you don't care if anyone feeds you or not. Doesn't matter. You just had a big meal and you're completely full, and you go visit someone and they don't feed you, it doesn't matter, you're full. So if we're full of our relationship with Krishna, then we're not looking for any respect in this world, and we can give it. Because this fullness is not static. As David described, my cup floweth over. It's unlimited. It keeps flowing. Like the spring underground in Radhakund and Shamakund. It keeps flowing. You know, they cleaned out the kunds last year. And then there's this underground spring. It keeps filling the kunds and filling the kunds. So Krishna's also in our heart. And he also loves us. And he respects us. And when we're connected with that, then our heart is full. And when my heart is full, then it doesn't matter to me whether you respect me or not. It's inconsequential. And I'm able to just give to you because I'm overflowing. It's like you have a treasury full of unlimited wealth. Well, then you can just give unlimited wealth to everybody. And you're never depleted. Because we're connected with Om Purnama Da Purnami Dam Purna Purna Udachache Purna Sya Purnama Dam Purnami Vasishita. You take away the complete, he's still complete. Well, guess what? That complete is in our heart. So we can therefore give completely to everybody and never also be depleted. Not because we are Krishna, but because we're connected with Krishna. And then we're always full. That is the only way. That is the only way. To be as tolerant as grass, more tolerant than grass. Grass pops up after you step. More tolerant than a tree that's when it's thirsty doesn't ask for water. When it has an internal problem, it doesn't ask for help. And if someone's cutting it, it doesn't cry out. More tolerant than a tree. How could you do that? You can only do that if all of your needs are satisfied from within. Therefore, as Krishna says, he has no need to depend on any other living being. Really, all of our needs are already given by Krishna. They're not really given by anybody else. Other people may act as Krishna's instrument. Krishna's supplying all of our needs. As soon as we acknowledge that, and as soon as we're connected with Krishna, and as soon as we really feel Suvanam, Sarvabhutanam, then get the Mama Shakti, become peaceful. He's the supreme controller. He's a lot more powerful than Barack Obama. He's the supreme controller. He's a supreme enjoyer, he's a supreme friend, and he's in my heart. So why do I have any anxiety? And I feel so much love for him, and then I can love everyone who is his family. Without that, this cannot be done. It cannot be done artificially by saying everyone's God, or by saying, yes, we have universal brotherhood. It can't be done. It can't be done on an artificial platform. We see people try to do it on an artificial platform, and they fail. They love the horses, but not the cows. Or they love all their fellow Catholics and they kill the Protestants. They can't even love all the members of their own family. So this is a big challenge for us. In the previous verse, Srila Prabhupada talked about that a Vaishnava is someone who's initiated into the Vaishnava cult. He says, but one also has to have good behavior. So this challenge for us to have this good behavior. This is, I think, one of our greatest challenges in our international society for Krishna consciousness. Without society, it's just icon. Right? ISK. Where's ISK? Gotta have S. So to have a society of Krishna consciousness means a society where we all give each other respect. And where we're so full with Krishna respecting us that we're peaceful and tolerant. And that's our challenge. I mean, obviously, we can try to repay Srila Prabhupada by profusely distributing books. We can try to replace Srila Prabhupada by profusely writing books, by building temples, by profusely cooking, by profusely decorating the altar with flowers. But you know what? What people really want is to come to a society that's like that. And that's also what we all want. So that's the real way that we repay Srila Prabhupada. is by really imbibing this verse of the Ramanaj. So thank you very much for having me here again in Nagadvipam. I really appreciate that you invited me. I'm just so wonderful to be back here. And Krishna willing, I'll be back again maybe a year or so, but maybe I can stay longer next week. So we have, I'm sorry, you all give me half an hour for class. The bells are here.
Well, and just what your class seems to be very connected to Prabhupada's last, I always call it the last will and testament. And, you know, your love for me would be shown by not how many books, not how many this and that, but how you cooperate. And we can only do that really if we're really grounded in Krishna and seeing Krishna in all of us.
That's right. It's not possible to do it without internally having some purification and connection with Krishna. You just can't. If you feel empty inside, if you don't have a connection with Krishna, you're going to try to fill that emptiness by trying to get things from other living entities. And the main thing that we want is connection. We want yoga. And we're looking for that. We're looking for other living entities then to be Krishna for us, at which point we become very disappointed and very angry and disrespectful. But we're not. So without that actual advancement, it's not possible. It's possible to do it through social niceties, but not in it. Not here, as it says, manasa, not in the mind. Thank you very much. All the best to you.